It was only three quarters of the way through the first reading that apparently we had sound. Could you all hear Larry in the rest of the reading? That's because Larry has a good, strong voice, thank goodness, because that reading is so key to what this whole feast is all about, what we celebrate today on the Feast of the Ascension. It is precisely this. As it says in the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, that was our first reading, the very beginning of that book, it says that Jesus was lifted up while they looked on, and a cloud took him from their sight. That is the mystery of the ascension that we celebrate today. But it goes on to say that the disciples were still staring into the sky as he went, when suddenly two men in white were standing beside them, and they said, "Why are you Galileans standing here looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go to heaven." So, we heard that the apostles saw Jesus go up into heaven. They were told that he's going to come back in the same way. So what do we do now? Just sit around and twiddle our thumbs until he comes back? That's one option. Lots of people do that. But it's important to note that in this beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, we were told that Jesus had spent time with his disciples before he ascended to heaven. And the writer of the Acts of the Apostles says, "In my first book, I told you all that Jesus began to do and teach." In his first book, well, what is that? It is the Gospel of Luke. That was the first book, because Luke is also the author of the Acts of the Apostles. So that's when he said he told us what Jesus began to do and teach. His second book, the Acts of the Apostles, tells how the apostles continued to do what Jesus had done. What Jesus had begun to do, the apostles picked up and continued to do. And now the apostles are all gone. So it's up to us to continue to pick up and do what Jesus began to do and teach, what then the apostles did, and now it's up to us to continue that. But in order to do that, we have to be prepared. Jesus himself spent 40 days in the desert where he was tempted by Satan, which prepared him for his ministry. And today we hear that Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection with his disciples and apostles, talking to them and teaching them and preparing them for what they had to do. And likewise us, it has now been 40 days since we celebrated Easter to now the Feast of the Ascension. And during those 40 days, Jesus has been trying to prepare us by teaching us throughout the Gospels in these several weeks of Easter season. And he's been telling us about many things, among them being how we need to bind ourselves closely to him in a personal love relationship. And he has also told us about how he is the shepherd, and his flock know his voice and heed it and follow him when they hear his voice. So those are some of the things that Jesus has been preparing us for in these 40 days. Now, even though Jesus prepared the apostles for 40 days, we hear that he then says to them, at the end of this 40-day preparation, he tells them, "Stay here until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which will come on you, and then you will be my witnesses." So even after 40 days of preparation and of teaching, Jesus says, stay here. Don't go anyplace. Wait until power comes down on you from the Holy Spirit. Now, that language is the same language that the angel Gabriel said to Mary when he visited her. He said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy Spirit will come down upon you. And we know what happened then when Gabriel spoke those words to Mary. Jesus Christ was formed in her. And so even though we have been prepared now for 40 days, we have to, so to speak, stay in the city until the power of the Most High overshadows us and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. What that means is that we have to make sure that Christ is formed in us as he was formed in Mary before we do anything. And so that means that we have to, as disciples of Jesus, of course, have, and I mean this, this is not a game, we have to spend time every day with Christ to be formed by him. We must. We cannot do anything for him unless it is Christ who acts through us. And so we must have that consecrated time every day with Christ. That is what he means, so to speak, when he says, stay in the city. Don't go any place until you receive power from on high. Now, that is not an excuse for us to inactivity, but it's both and. While every day we spend that time with the Lord being formed by him, we also go from that to serve him. And then, what's that all about? I mean, what are we being prepared for? Why do we need to have Christ formed in us? Well, let's listen again to the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, that Jesus, during those 40 days, it says that he continued to appear to the apostles and tell them about the kingdom of God. That's what he told them about in those 40 days. That is what was important to Jesus. In all the Gospels, what he preaches is the kingdom of God. The apostles, in the Acts of the Apostles, continued to talk about what? The kingdom of God. That was their theme. For example, just one example, in Acts chapter 19, verse 8, St. Paul says, or rather says about St. Paul, that he began by going to the synagogue where he spoke out fearlessly and argued persuasively about what? The kingdom of God. That's just one example throughout the Acts of the Apostles. So what's that all about? What's the kingdom of God all about? The kingdom of God is the definitive reign of justice, love, and peace. That's what the kingdom of God is. And we will not see the kingdom of God until what we heard about at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus comes down just as he came up, went up. That is when the kingdom of God will be here in its completion. But until then, we are supposed to be preparing the soil, if you will, for the kingdom of God to come. That as disciples, everything that we do should be aimed towards building that kingdom of God. And what does that mean? What, we can get a clue, perhaps, from the prophecy of Isaiah. And notice this language in the prophecy of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord Yahweh is on me, for Yahweh has anointed me. That's that same language that happened to Mary when Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That Jesus says, wait in the city until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, here it is. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? He has sent me to bring the news to the afflicted, to soothe the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, release to those in prison, to proclaim a year of favor from Yahweh, to comfort all who mourn, to give them for ashes a garland, for mourning dress the oil of gladness, for despondency festal attire. Now, how do we do all that? Well, that is what we find out when we spend time every day with Christ being formed by him. He has given each one of us unique gifts that the people around us do not have. We all have unique gifts, and we are responsible for using them to do all these things that the Spirit of the Lord God has equipped us for. We do not want to find ourselves in the situation of the parable that Jesus gave us to warn us about the king who went away just like Jesus has ascended into heaven, and he left his servants, one with an investment of 10 pounds, another with an investment of 5, another with an investment of 1. You know the story. The first two guys invested those, what was given, and they increased it. The last one did nothing with it, and he received a severe judgment. So we are responsible for the gifts that Jesus has given us to help prepare the way for the kingdom of God. But we have to be careful that when we think about the kingdom of God, we don't make the mistake that everybody in Jesus' day did, and even the apostles, when he ascended into heaven, they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? They still were laboring under this notion that the kingdom of God was somehow to be found in temporal, political realities. So we cannot become secular fanatics and identify the kingdom of God with any secular political realities. The Democratic Party agenda does not give us the plan for the kingdom of God, nor does the Republican Party agenda. It's not about that. Because what we do as Christians, we take our cue from the kingdom of God about what Jesus teaches us, why we have to spend time every day being formed by him. We take our cue from the teaching of the apostles, which has come down to us in the magisterium of the church. We take our cue from the successor of Peter, Pope Francis, by his words and example. That is what we take our cue from. And as we are in the process of being formed by Jesus, we come to this table to eat his body and blood, and then go forth to witness by our words and life to the kingdom of God. Jesus is coming. Look busy.